Amen. Amen. So we've been chatting this last few weeks about the way Jesus loved people, and hopefully we can learn something from that to encourage ourselves. But just before we do that, I want to pray for one more second, because Alan, I forgot to pray for his cousin and their family. His cousin sadly passed away this week, just suddenly. He was 44, and he left behind four kids and a wife. So I want us to just take a moment and pray. He's going shortly after the service finishes today. He's got to rush on to the funeral. But I want us to pray today and just ask the Lord's blessing. Could we do that? Lord, I just really pray for this family, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for a family that's in need, Lord, but a God who can supply all of their needs. Lord, I pray this morning, I ask just to stir our hearts, Lord, and maybe even stir our voices, Lord, to bless this family, Lord. We're not sure of their situation, Lord, but we know this one thing, that, Lord, they're desperate at the moment. It's a difficult time, Lord. It's a horrible time. It's a somber time. It's a time full of sorrow, Lord, a time full of mourning. And Lord, we've been singing with joy, Lord, and we've been singing with enthusiasm, and we're experiencing the joy of the Lord this morning. Lord, could we agree together that you would send a blessing to their house today, Lord? Could we agree together, Lord, that heaven will be open, Lord, and the blessing would rain down in their hearts, Lord? And if they're not believers, Lord, that they would question and say, I've got to know this God because I experience and feel his presence. And if they are believers, that you would lift them up and encourage them in their faith. But Lord, I pray this morning for Alan, Lord. I pray for his family who love the Lord. And as they would go in, Lord, that they could be a light and a shining light of compassion and love in that situation. I pray, Lord, for today, Lord, I pray even on a horrible day like this, that, Lord, wonderful love would come, wonderful mercy and wonderful grace. Lord, I pray for this family, and we'd agree together for healing and restoration in your precious name. Amen. 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 So we're going to talk about the way Jesus loved people. We looked last week and we said to ourselves, look, we've been thinking about Zacchaeus, we've been thinking about the 10 lepers, but we're not talking about animals, we're talking about people, lepers. We talk about those strangers that Jesus stopped along the way and saw them healed, saw them set free, saw them delivered. But this morning, I want us to look at Peter. I want us to look at Peter, a person that he loved, a person that was close to him, a friend. And Jesus this morning is here in John 15. He says he calls us friend. And if we're in Christ, then we are friends of God. And God is here this morning. He's saying, you're my friend. I love you. I'm well pleased with you. I've got great plans for you. I've got great purposes for you. And so this morning, I want us to look at the life of Peter. We're not going to look at the whole life because it takes too long and we'd all get fed up and want to go home for something to eat. But we're going to look at two or three different aspects that could maybe encourage us this morning to help us to love better, to help us to love in the way that Jesus loved, to help us to get the same heart that Jesus had. And we looked last week and we said to ourselves, hey, we've got to take a pause in kind of this mini kind of series that we're in. And we have to take a pause and say, where was Jesus' source? Where was he getting this love from? Where was he getting this heart from? And we realized that he got it from being with the Father, because we're never going to become like Jesus if we're not getting close to the Father, if we're not spending time with our Heavenly Father. And so God is here this morning saying, I love you. I'm well pleased with you. Come spend time with me. Come, let's get intimate together. Come, let me reveal my secrets. Let me know your heart in an intimate way. Come and you come and know my heart. And Jesus steps up to Peter, and we're going to read it from the beginning of when they first encounter each other. And we're going to see the impact that Jesus has on Peter's life. And his number one thing was love. And this is what God wants us to show. So at the beginning of the Gospels, Jesus obviously born, God with us, Emmanuel. We're coming up to that time. And then eventually it comes to a season in his life and he knows his ministry has to begin. And so he decides, I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to bring people with me. I want to gather disciples. I want people to come and be fishers of men. I want people to come and join with me. So he goes and asks some people. And the first few people he comes to is Peter, James, and John. And he comes to Peter, and he comes to his brother James first, and he says, James, come with me. And then he turns around, and he talks to Peter. And this is what he says in John 1, 42. If you want to look it up, you can do it. John chapter 1, verse 42, or it's on the screen, and you can just listen as we read. It says, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. How does Jesus love people? Even from the very beginning, we're getting the heart of Jesus in the way that he loves people. From the very beginning, he looks at Simon and he changes his name. Wow, you think that's pretty cool. That's pretty nice, you know. Changes his name. He's not going to be called Simon anymore. He's going to be called Peter. Just giving him a new meaning. What does that mean? See, when you dig a bit deeper, you know what it means? Is that he changed his name for a purpose. He changed his name for a reason, because when he changed his name from Simon to Peter, Peter means rock. He's only met this guy and he's already calling him a rock. He's only met this fisherman. He's been fishing off the seashore. He's been just catching fish. He's probably smelly. He probably doesn't look too good. He's rough around the edges. We know from the life of Peter, he says the wrong things at times. He acts first, thinks later. He does all of the wrong things at all of the wrong times. And yet, the very first day that Jesus meets Simon, he calls him Peter because he says, "You're my rock. You're going to be a rock. You're going to be a rock." You know, the way Jesus loves people and the way that Jesus wants us to love people is when we see them, we see what God sees instead of what we see. That when we see people, we see what God sees. Jesus saw his future, but he wanted to see it in the reality today. He called his future from afar off and he says, but no, today you're going to be different. Today something is changing because the way I'm going to love you will impact your life forever. And God is here this morning, and he's saying to us, how will we love the people around us? I mean, there's something strange that goes on at the moment, I feel, is that even as Christians, we go day to day, and we've so little impact on people's lives. I think to myself, how can that be? Because every person that Jesus met, he changed their lives forever. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of the love of the Father. We have both of those things together in our lives. And yet in our lives, if we're not careful, we forget the main thing. We forget our call. We forget that we are ambassadors of Christ. We forget that our number one job here in this life is to go out and tell people about Jesus. Our number one thing in this life is to bring the hope that we have found to a hopeless world around us and tell them about the love that we find and tell them about the grace that we find. And I thought to myself, wow, Jesus meets Simon. He doesn't just change his name. He calls out his future. He sees him what he will be. He's not yet, but he sees it already because he sees through the eyes of the Lord. And God is here this morning, and we go back to the Old Testament, and we think, hey, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the heart. What on earth is going on in the heart? And I want to challenge this morning right from the beginning. How does Jesus love people? He impacts them from day number one. And I want to encourage us as believers, as followers of Jesus, our goal and our job is to go day by day and to impact the world around us. Our job is to go day by day and to impact people around us. Here's the thing about love. If we love from our own strength, then I look at Steve and I go, Steve's an awesome guy. He's easy to love. Steve, I want you to be with me. You're an awesome guy. I look at somebody else, not in here, obviously. You're not an awesome guy. I don't love you. Yeah, and that's what we tend to do with our natural earthly love, is that we make judgments, we make quick thoughts about people, quick assumptions about people, and then we make a decision, and that's our first impressions. We talk about first impressions. You know what Jesus was like? Jesus says, I look past all of that because I love from a Father's love, and I see what you will be someday. I see what you're becoming. I see what God intends for your life, not the current reality. The current reality was, this guy's stinky. Why does he want, I don't want him to follow me. I'm a nice guy. I want to go to the Bible college and I want to pick the best guys in the area. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Bible college, but Jesus just says something totally different because he knows the heart of the Father and he says, I only ever do what the Father tells me to do. And so to this day, the Father said, I want you to go to fishermen because they're going to be great guys. They're going to be great people. I don't want them to catch fish anymore. I want them to catch people. They're the people you need. They're the people you need. And this morning, God is here for us, and he's challenged us, and he wants to encourage us. And he says, stop making quick assumptions. Stop having little impact. Start impacting people with the love of Christ. Start seeing people through God's eyes, and start seeing potential. Start seeing potential for the future. Start seeing where God wants to bring them to rather than current reality, because the current reality can be misleading. I wonder if Jesus had only saw what Peter looked like that day, would he ever have picked him to be a number one disciple? Never, ever, ever. He would never have picked him. But he went there because he saw with eyes of love, with eyes of grace, and he says, I know what you're going to become. And he calls his future into his presence. He said, no longer will you be Simon, you will be Peter. You are my rock. God is here this morning, and he's speaking to our hearts, and he's speaking to our lives, and he says, how are we going to love people? With impact, in a positive sense, in a graceful sense, in a love-filled sense, or are we going to be judgmental? Are we going to be people that says, no, not her, not him, no, forget those, forget that. Are we going to show grace? Are we going to show love? Are we going to show mercy? Jesus always sees who we are in God. You see, it's easy to love people from our own natural sense and to make assumptions. It takes more to get in the secret place. It takes more to lean on Jesus. It takes more to lean on God's leading and then to respond to people in different ways because of the way God leads it on your heart. It's too easy to be the same. See, Jesus loved like this. Instead of seeing Simon, he saw Peter. That's what he did. Instead of seeing you the way you currently are, he sees what you're becoming in him. He sees your future. He sees your destiny. And Jesus was there with this man, and he spoke to his destiny. He was currently doing a job that Jesus knew he was not going to do in the future. He spoke to his destiny, and it transformed Peter forever. And Jesus is here this morning, and he's saying, this is the kind of impact, and this is the kind of love that you can have for people. 2 Corinthians 5:17, remind ourselves of this. We are new creations in Christ. Do we all not become Simon the Peters? Do we all not become Sauls the Pauls? Are we all not like that? And the love that Jesus gave towards us impacted us and transformed us forever. And this is the way that God wants us to love the world around us. And this is the way that God wants us to love the people around us. To love with impact, to love with transformation, and to love with destiny, because we're seeing something bigger. Jesus impacted people's lives because he looked through eyes of love rather than natural eyes. And if we fast forward into Peter's life, we see countless different things. We said it already. He's right after Jesus' heart. He's always there for him. He's always saying, I'm with you, Jesus. He does bold things. He does silly things, but Jesus loves him. He says, rock. He turns around one day and says, you're going to be my rock. I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. I mean, Jesus just speaking destiny over his life all of the time. He's not there yet, but Jesus just keeps speaking it over him. He's speaking life. He's speaking life. He's speaking life. I wonder, as we go day to day, how much life do we speak? Or maybe on the contrary, how much death do we speak? This is not to condemn us, but this is to challenge our hearts. Are we speaking life to people? Or by default, are we just being silent, which is just automatically the opposite? Because if you're going to speak life, you've got to be intentional. If you're going to speak life to someone, we've got to be intentional. We've got to engage. We've got to say hello. Jesus, we looked at the 10 lepers the other week, and we said when Jesus saw them, he spoke to them. Not only did he see them, but he engaged with them. It transformed them forever. They were never the same again. And the same spirit that was inside of Jesus is the same spirit that's inside of us. And that same spirit rose Jesus from the grave. It's in us. It's in us. There's power in us that is so much greater and so much bigger than us. And our job this morning is this, is to receive it by faith, to live in faith, to move in faith, to respond in faith, and stop all of this opposite thing where it's like, I've made my mind up. I've done this. I've done that. Instead, we're saying, Jesus, what do you say? Father, what is your heart for this person? I want to love like you. That's the way Jesus loved. We come to middle part of Peter's life. When you come probably to one of the darkest times of Peter's life, come to this season of he's going to make a huge mistake. And you probably know the story, but we're going to remind you, we're going to read it today because I believe there's so much fruit in this story and there's so much hope for us as believers, non-believers. There's so much hope. There's so much life in these verses today. And we come to Peter's life and Jesus is moving through his time and moving through his ministry, but he's making the disciples aware that there's a time coming where he's going to the cross. And we get to this time where this is inevitable now. It's coming up fast. We come to the garden and Jesus is with his disciples and he's kind of almost like cushioning the blow. He's just showing love. He's showing compassion. He wants to just let them know a few things. He's telling them some realities to try and encourage and try and build them up. Because he knows they don't fully understand yet. I mean, they're in this big thing that's going to change the world forever. It's going to change history forever. And it's too lofty for them. It's too hard to understand. But Jesus knows what's going on. And Peter is going to make a mistake which just kills him on the inside, but Jesus is going to restore him. Jesus is going to restore. And so even before we get into it, I want you to know this. If you've made mistakes, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's wonderful forgiveness. There's wonderful restoration. There's wonderful hope in him. And so Peter comes to the middle part of his life, or the middle part of his journey with Jesus, near in the end, and he makes a mistake. And we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about the big issue of forgiveness. We're going to talk about the big issue of forgiveness and see how Jesus loved people, even in the midst of mistakes. See how Jesus dealt with this big issue of forgiveness. Because I feel it's a big one in our hearts. I know it can be a big one in my life. So I'm being open with everyone today. It can be a big one in my life. But holding forgiveness at times, having a forgiveness issue, maybe even have forgiveness with myself or forgiveness with somebody else. And it just becomes a big thing. I believe the Lord this morning wants to speak into that, and he wants to break that issue, and he wants to show you what his true heart is, and his true heart is restoration. His true heart is resurrection. His true heart is to transform. And so you're here today, and Jesus is saying this, I want to deal with the forgiveness issues that are going on in your heart, in your life, and I want to break you free from them. This is what it says in Matthew 25:31. On the way, Jesus told them, Jesus speaking to them, tonight, listen to this, listen to these four verses. Tonight, all of you will desert me. tonight all of you will desert me. You've been with me for years. I've called you, you followed me, you came after me, but tonight you're all going to desert me. What type of words are those to hear? Incredibly difficult words to hear. For the scripture says God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Even in the midst of these verses, I love this. Even in the midst of these verses, Jesus has given them hope. He's given them hope. I'll see you soon. I'll be back. Peter declared, even if everyone else departs from you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. No, Peter insists, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. See, there's goodness in Peter. He's a good guy. But on this night, his rock is going to be broken. On this night, the rock that Jesus called, there's going to be breaking. And the rock is going to break. His rock, Peter, is going to break. He's going to make a mistake. And Jesus is there, and Peter's got a good heart, and he's got good intention. He says, no, I'll never do it. I'll never fail you, Jesus. I'll never let you down. And maybe we've been in those positions where I'll never do it. I'll keep going. But Jesus is there, and I don't want you to miss what Jesus said. He said, I know you're going to do this, but I'm never going to leave you. I know you're going to desert me, but I'm never going to fail you. I know you're going to desert me, but in a little while, I'll go ahead of you, and I'll meet you there. See, even in the midst of this, when Jesus has given reality to his disciples, he's still bringing life. He's still bringing hope. He's still bringing love. Now, he knows Peter's going to let him down. He's already seen it. He already knows it, but he's already showing love for restoration. He's already ahead of the mistake. He's already ahead of the mistake. Imagine if we lived like that, where we know that person's definitely going to fail me. I mean, we're working with people, and they've got issues, and they've got problems. I know you're going to let me down. I'm not even a doomsday prophet. I don't need to prophesy anything. I don't need to predict anything. If I'm with you long enough, I know you're going to let me down. But you know what Jesus says? I know it. I'm already preempting it. I'm already putting out love for it. I'm already saying, don't worry, I'm going ahead of you. I'm going ahead of you, and I'll meet you there. What an incredible Savior. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to stay excruciating pain of all the sins of the world forever and ever coming on him. He's about to say, is there any way for this cup to pass from me? And in the midst of all of this, he's thinking about his friends. He's thinking about the ones that he loves. He's thinking about Peter. And he says, Peter, I understand. I know your heart. I know that you don't want to fail me, but I know that you will. But don't worry, I'm going to go ahead of you and I will meet you there. What incredible love from Jesus. This is the love that we have received. This is the love that's inside of our hearts. This is the love that Jesus wants to encourage us to show and to extend to the people around us. Is it about holding unforgiveness? Is it about should I forgive or should I this or should I that? Or is it about should I love? Jesus was so much more concerned about loving him. Jesus was so much more concerned with restoring him. Jesus was so much more concerned saying, I'll go ahead of you and I'll meet you there. You're going to fail me, but I will never fail you. This is the love that Jesus has. This is the love that Jesus has for me and you. This is the love that Jesus wants us to show to everybody else. I know you're going to fail me, but I'll never fail you. I know you're going to let me down, but I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to be there in God's strength. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to go ahead of you. Jesus speaks to their hearts, and he tells them like it is. Peter says, no way, Jesus, I'm never going to do it. He's got a great heart. He's got great intentions, but Jesus knows. And for us this morning, when it comes to forgiveness issues, part of the thing what I felt the Lord put in my heart is this, is that we're making assumptions so quickly. We're cutting and drying things so quickly. I mean, we know the story of Peter. There's no climax to it. We know what happens. He does it. Jesus tells him he's going to deny the Lord three times. He does it just as Jesus predicts. It's a cut and dried case. He's guilty. Throw away the key. Get rid of him. I mean, he had every chance in the book. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He loved him the most, and then he let him die. Get rid of him. Chuck him away. Chuck him away. He had every chance. He had every opportunity. He doesn't deserve it anymore. Isn't it incredible how quickly our love turns to that? I mean, is that grace or is that law? Is that Jesus or is that my thoughts? I mean, how quickly do we do that? Oh, they had every chance. I give them every opportunity. I give them all the rules. They didn't follow the rules. This is the 10th time they've broken the rules. Jesus was not like that at all. He says, I know that you're going to fail me. I know that you're going to let me die, but I've got love for that. And I wonder this morning, how does our love work out? Because I know that none of us are going to say that we're living under the law. None of us are going to say that we live like that. But sometimes in our day-to-day, if we're not careful, that grace seems to diminish. And suddenly this, I'm right and you're wrong, and I deserve and you don't. And all of this starts to come back into our hearts and our lives. Because come on, you've had every chance going. This is not fair. And we get to this part about, this is not fair. Where's the justice? This is not fair. Tell you what wasn't fair. When Jesus went to the cross and died for us, that was incredible love. Incredible love. How do we ever get away from that? How do we ever lose sight of that in spite of any of the things that we go through, as big as they may be, or as tough as they may be, or as horrible as they may be? The forgiveness issue, it shouldn't be an issue, because Jesus dealt with that on the cross. The cross went right over every forgiveness issue from now to eternity. It just went right over the top of them. His precious blood just washed right over the top of every forgiveness issue that we've ever had in our lives. And maybe you're here this morning and your forgiveness issue is with yourself, because how could I have been so stupid? How could I have done this to Jesus, as Peter would have thought? Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, how could I have done this? Jesus has done so much for me, or my loved one has done so much for me. All these forgiveness issues. And Jesus says, I was nailed for that. Every hammer blow defeated unforgiveness. Every hammer blow cracked the forgiveness issue. You don't need to live there anymore. You are forgiven and you are set free in Jesus' name. And so let's just delve a bit deeper into the story. Peter is going to let Jesus down. Jesus already knows it. But I want you to get the context of the situation to maybe allow our grace to grow and to maybe get fresh understanding that we got to be slow to judge and we got to try and put ourselves in the shoes of the person. Matthew 26:69 says this, "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus Christ.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' He's getting angry. He's getting cross. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. There's no denying it. We figured it out. You're one of them.' Then, verse 74, he began to call down curses and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately, a rooster crowed. Immediately. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and he wept bitterly." He wept bitterly. Peter, does this sound like a guy who was getting away with something? Does this sound like a guy who made a mistake and he was proud of it? Does this sound like a guy who made a mistake and he was gloating in it? This is a guy who is broken. This is a guy in an impossible situation. This is a guy, if history had to repeat itself, might do the same again, because you've got to understand the context of the situation. Everything's falling around him. His master's been captured. Everything is falling around him. He knows what's coming. He knows what his master is going to get. He's wondering, was the whole thing real or not? He's not even sure what's going on anymore. He's fearful. He's afraid. He's full of dread. He's consumed with fear. And he makes the worst possible decisions ever. But Jesus already said he was going to do it. But he can't remember at this moment the part where Jesus says, "Don't worry, I'm going ahead of you and I'll meet you soon." He's just overcome with grief. He is overcome with grief. And I want to challenge us this morning in terms of the forgiveness issue. How many times are we maybe making assumptions on the story when maybe there's more to the story? And that's what's locking us into the forgiveness issue. But for Peter, there was so much more going on when we get into his shoes. We see what was really going on. We wonder ourselves, and this is what I challenge myself with. I thought to myself, if we're being super hard with Peter, or if you're sitting there thinking, I can't believe he did that, when Jesus said already, he should have been stronger than that. But I wonder, and this is what I did for myself, and maybe you do this for yourself, I wonder if I was in Peter's shoes, would I have done anything different? I wonder, given the circumstances, I wonder, given the issues, I wonder, given the weight of what was going on in that current day, would I have done anything different? And yet, Jesus was not about the forgiveness issue. He was all about, I can see what's going to happen. I'm already trying to get around this with love. I'm already preparing your heart. I'm already telling you, I've gone ahead of you. This is the love of the Savior. And the Savior has met each and every one of us, and he knew the mistakes all of us would make. And yet, he died anyway. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying, I've set you free. You're a new creation. Do not go back to slavery and bondage. Do not go back to slavery and bondage in your own life. Don't let it happen from you, from somebody else's life. Don't hold that over anybody else's life. You've been set free forever. Slavery and bondage is gone in Jesus' name. Isn't that good hope this morning? Isn't that good news this morning? We've got a love like Jesus. Grace equals understanding. Law equals judgment. It's judgment. Grace equals understanding. I know that things went on there. I know this happened. I know that happened. There's grace for this situation. God is showing us grace this morning, and he's showing us mercy. And very quickly, and we'll be finished in 5 minutes, this. Jesus loves, as we've said, restoration, and he also loves destiny. Let's read it together in John 21:15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, we've got the verses. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt with that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What on earth was Jesus doing in that moment? I'm sure we could analyze and think about it for years. I think we could read commentaries on it for years and wonder what on earth Jesus was doing. But I believe ultimately what Jesus was doing was restoring a broken man. I believe ultimately what Jesus was doing was reminding a broken man, he's still a rock. He's still a rock. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't call him Peter? He calls him Simon, son of John. Isn't it interesting that he goes back to day number one when he first met him and he reminds him, it's no different. Your destiny has not changed. Even though you have made mistakes, even though you have made failings, your destiny has not changed. You're still my rock, Simon. You're still my rock, Peter. You're still my Simon. I have not forgotten you. I do not hold unforgiveness over you. I just want to see you restored. I want to see you walking back in your destiny. Isn't that incredible for the Lord? The Lord comes to us and he calls us out at the beginning. He knows we're going to make mistakes after salvation. And then we come back to him days later or years later and we come to him broken and we say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus said, I never forgot you. I never forgot you and I want to restore you. Not only do I want to restore you, I want to repurpose you again. I want to call you back into your destiny. Go look after my lambs. Go feed my lambs. Go look after my sheep. Go do something. Go and be my rock. I'm not just here to just accept you back and go, that'll be cool, sit in the corner and we'll get you back to you someday. Immediately that Jesus restores him, immediately he puts him to action. Immediately Jesus restores him, immediately he puts him to action. He goes back to day number one and he says, it's like nothing's ever changed. You're still my rock. I still love you with my whole heart. I still love you. I still love you. Did Jesus have to say it three times because he had to forgive him the three times because of the three things that Peter said that he said, I deny him. No, I think he said it three times because he wanted Peter to know without a shadow of a doubt, you're mine, you're chosen, you're still chosen, you've come back, you're restored, you're forgiven. Let's go. Let's go. There's no waiting anymore. I've been waiting for you to come back. Let's go, quickly. Let's go. You're a fisher of men now. Do you know what Peter was doing just before that? You know what he was doing? I remind you, we'll not read it for the sake of time. You know what he was doing just before that? He was back fishing. He was back fishing. He was back catching fish again. It was like he was back to day number one. And Jesus met him all over again. And there he was out in the seas of Galilee, he's catching fish. It says that he fished all night and caught nothing. He fished all night and caught nothing. Then Jesus turns up. He says, Simon Peter, turn your nets to the other side. He turns his nets to the other side, takes it up a full load. Full load. The disciples hadn't seen him to this point because he's just resurrected. They notice him on the beach. They call out, says it's him. He says, it's me. They come, Simon Peter, he just rushes quickly and Peter gets to the shore and then Jesus says to them, come, let's go. Let's get some breakfast on. Let me restore you. Let me resurrect you. Let me bring you back to better than ever. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying, how are we going to love people? We're going to love people with resurrection power. We're going to love people back from their demises. We're going to love people back from their issues. We're going to love people back from their feelings because love changes everything. Love died on the cross and it changed our lives forever. We were transformed. Let's stand together. We're going to finish with some worship this morning. The Lord is here and he said hope came back into Peter's life and hope has come back into our lives. Jesus is incredible. Jesus is incredible. Peter went back to fishing for fish. But Jesus said, you're not made for that. Your destiny is people. And he calls them back. And he says, come on, let's go. Let's get breakfast. We got to go. There's a world to change. You're still my rock. You're still my rock. You're still my rock. You're still my rock. That's what I ultimately feel in my spirit, that Jesus was essentially saying to Peter all those times, will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my sheep? He says it to him three times. And I believe this morning, ultimately, what Jesus was saying was, you're still my rock. You're still my rock. You're still my rock. You're not broken anymore. You are restored through my resurrection. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Let's praise him. Let's give him praise. Lord, this morning, you're incredible. You're a wonderful Jesus. Lord, we feel like we're disqualified at times, Lord. We feel like we're Peters, Lord, that have messed it all up. Jesus has come to us. He's transformed us. He's given us a new name. He's called our destiny into the present, and yet we seem to mess it up. He even tells us at times when we're going to do it, and yet we still do it. We can't even get around that because we're not strong enough. But Lord, in our weakness, he is strong. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying, I love it when you're vulnerable. I love it when you're weak because I'll make you strong and I can be your strength. I love it when you lean on me. I love it when you love people with my love. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying, I want you to love in the way that I love, Peter. I want you to love in the way that I love, the way that I demonstrate it. I want us to be here this morning and break off every forgiveness issue that we've got in our lives, because it's just not worth it, says the Lord. It's just not worth it in Jesus' name. The Lord says, I put a cross right over all of those. I put a bridge right over all of those, and I broke it and I defeated it, and it's gone forever. Do not live in death and bondage any longer. The Lord is here. He said, Lord, will you come with your resurrection power and transform us? What do we need the Lord to forgive us for if we have a forgiveness issue? What do we need the Lord to help us to break if it's that we're dealing with? What is it that we have to believe? Or could it be this morning that we're just like Peter? The Lord has called us, but we've given up hope because we've made a mistake and we're back fishing. But Jesus is saying, I'm right on the seashore and I'm calling you back like day number one, and I'm still reminding you, you're my rock. I've got great plans for you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we would worship, that you would anoint our souls, Lord, that you would refresh and renew our minds, Lord, and that we would know that the Lord is with us, that the Lord is here and he is faithful and he has not forgotten us. And he knew that we would feel just like Jesus did in the garden. But he said, I've gone ahead of you and I'll meet you in a little while. I will be there. I will not fail you, says the Lord. Jesus, anoint us this morning. Jesus, rekindle our hope. Refresh our joy, Lord. Lift off our burdens and smash all forgiveness issues that we have in two with your wonderful grace, with your wonderful resurrection, and with your wonderful restoration in your precious, glorious name. Let's sing about our cornerstone this morning.